Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is just before you get into the New Testament, if that helps. Now, how many knows the Word of God's important? There's serious things in the Word of God, and we need to take heed to those things. As I start off this message, I want to start off with whole-scale repentance in the room. Not that you've done anything serious or amiss, but the Word of God is so powerful that it changes us, that we need to be in the same heart, the same frame of mind, in the same spirit working deep within us. Are you with me? I'm going to lead us in a prayer here and pray this with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of every sin. I am so sorry for every failure. I ask you to change me from glory to glory. I humble myself before your very hands. Change me now. Holy Spirit, work in me your plan that I, Lord Jesus, am like you in all that I say and do in Jesus' name. Amen. In Malachi chapter 3, starting with verse 1, it says, "Behold, I send my messenger. Ye shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight. Behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts." When it comes to this process here, these next few weeks, my message title is Sifting, Shaking, and Breaking. The sifting process takes place. To sift means to remove, to shake up and down, to reel, and also to be promoted. In this verse in chapter 3, verse 1, he's talking about John the Baptist. That John the Baptist was going to come before Jesus. He was going to be the messenger. In Matthew 11, verse 10 says this, "In whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before my face. He shall prepare the way before me." Now picture Jesus going to be coming on the scene. But I want everyone to heed and know this, that before God does anything, he always speaks a spoken word about it. He's declaring publicly that, hey, I'm going to send a messenger before my servant comes. And many times when God begins to speak those things, we need to take heed to the word. Now, if the people in that day would have been following Scripture, they would have found out, hey, here's John the Baptist. Here's who he's talking about. Jesus must be the next one that comes. Because one day he showed up at the temple and it caught many unaware. In these last days, we need to heed to the word of God. We need to be ready. God's given us instruction. He's also tipping us off ahead of time what's going to happen. How many knows we need to listen to that? For everyone during this time, if they would have looked at Scripture and known that a messenger was going to come before Jesus, they would have saw, hey, who is this guy? It's him. And soon Jesus came. When it comes to prophetic word, God wants to speak to the church and say, we need to be ready. I said, we need to be ready. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus to come. He was baptizing in the wilderness, and he was saying to the Pharisees and Sadducees, "Repent, O vipers." It's no different today that we need to. Repentance is a grace word. In Isaiah 40, verse 3, it says, "The voice of him who cries in the wilderness, prepare and make way the way of the Lord, make his path straight. It shall be a desert in the highway of our God." In Mark chapter 1, verse 2, it's written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before his face to prepare his way." This morning, this message is so crucial for all of us. It's going to start with the pastor. It's going to start with leadership. That the leadership in the churches need to get their life right. Are you hearing me? When Jesus came, he came to a world that wasn't looking for him. Many of his own people weren't even looking. They were saying, hey, when's the sign of his coming? When's he going to come? When's he going to come? They were all looking for a sign. They were looking for the stars. They were looking to this. And Jesus said, no sign will be given but that which is Jonah. He was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That was the only sign. The sign was this: I'm sending my messenger. I'm speaking a prophetic word. He's speaking a prophetic word over the church. Be ready. He's coming. When you don't expect it, one day he's going to show up in the temple. How much more now the Lord is ready to return? Look at verse 2. But he may abide in that day of his coming. Who shall stand when he appears? He will be like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. Notice this word here, who shall be able to stand? There's similar language to this in Joel 2 verse 11, that the Lord's going to utter his voice. It's going to be a great army, a great and terrible day. When the Lord, the righteous judge, comes, he's going to receive this earth, but he's also going to judge those that are in it. Listen to me, everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the church, we have a righteousness, and it's not our own, it's his. More than ever, the church needs to be living for God. Notice in this verse, he comes as a fire and he comes as soap. The backdrop is like Malachi sees the great white throne and he's going to show up like fire. Now, we know that fire purifies, doesn't it? And also soap. Now, how many are glad sometimes you're out there and maybe you've been camping or whatever and you finally get a shower or a bath and you're like, oh, this is so good. Anybody here? I mean, if you don't have any soap, see me after service, I'll hook you up, all right? But the truth is that it's nice in that area. When the Lord shows up, he shows up like fire and he shows up like soap. We all need to have that in our lives. We need to have that cleansing that God brings because we're not of this world, even though we're in this world. He's speaking to the world. Listen to me, when I show up this way. In Jeremiah 2, verse 22, it says, I'll wash you. It says this. It won't take the tape with soap, that your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord. When fire begins to work, it begins to separate. It begins to take all the impurities out. And the Lord cleanses us from all stain. Now, the other day I had a speaking engagement and I was greeting some folks before they came in. And I gave this lady a little hug. Stand up, Ruth, for a second. Now, when I hug ladies, I do this. Yes. Say amen. Well, she happened to bump her chin on my shoulder, and there was makeup. And then when I said, oh, praise the Lord, I look over, and I had a makeup spot about that big. And it was on a light-colored suit. And I looked down and went, ah! I'm going to be speaking in a little bit, amen? So I'm like, okay, I went to the bathroom. I took a little water. How many knows that does not work? The makeup today, you ladies got it on, it ain't coming off. I go, Lynn, look. You got to help me out here. You can't miss it. It's like this giant bullseye on my shoulder. She took my jacket. She went in the ladies' room. She's working on it. She's taking her fingernail on it. She's soaking it down. And we did the best we could. Amen. We took a hair dryer and hood. You could still see a little mark, but that's the best I could do. How many want to have the Lord that no matter what, we don't even have a stain upon us? How many knows the Lord can do that in our lives? That righteousness that we carry is the righteousness of the saints. When it comes to those areas, I'm looking at, you know what, I need a little shout it out. How many ever seen those little pen there? How many know sometimes we got to shout out some stains? We got to declare, that's what we started off with prayer day. Sometimes we got to shout that out. We need to deal with that area of our life. When the fire comes in, it begins to change. Like gold in our character, the Lord wants to work it in. In Revelation 19, verse 8 says this, and he granted her that she should be arrayed in white linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Look at verse 2, Malachi 3:2 says, who is able to stand in that day? Sinful man cannot stand approved before a holy God. I said, sinful man cannot stand approved before a holy God. The Father's not going to turn to the Son and say, Jesus, you died in vain. He died for a reason for our sins. But when it comes to righteousness, the church needs to be walking in it. And this morning, I'm going to deal with the ministers. The ministers need to walk in God's holiness. I said the ministers need to walk in God's holiness. Everyone in here has the time to serve the Lord. Look at verse 3. He shall sit as a refiner, as a purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering of righteousness. In verse 2 here, we talks about fire. In verse 3, he moves into now, he's a smelter. He's beginning to change the metals. He begins to say, I'm going to purify the sons of Levi. God wants to bring a purity in the pulpits today. He wants to purify the sons of Levi. More than ever, listen to me, I know our climate in our country needs a change. One of the reasons why we have a country like we do is because the men of God are not living for the Lord the way they should. The spiritual climate in America needs to change because the pulpits need to change. Oh, no thunderous amens in here. It's got to start here. He's saying, listen to me. I'm coming, priests. I'm coming, sons of Levi, as a refining fire, as a fuller soap. He wants to start in the men of God. So I'm making myself in that arena. Lord, change me. I want to be more like you. I want to walk in that area. He's going to come in these things. So believe me, it's convenient to change. But it's needed. I said it's needed. To the sons of Levi, I come to you like fire. I come to you like a refiner. That I want to heat you to the place you become molten. Not to destroy you, but let the impurities come out of your life. To begin to purify you. And then if there's any stains, I'll take the soap and I'll begin to clean you up. That you can be pure. Today more than ever, ministers need to be that way. There are churches today that have pastors that aren't even born again. That we've ordained anybody who says yes today. This is a high and holy calling. God will not change that. No matter what man does to institute who's in it, God does not change that. Oh, I'm preaching now. Listen to me. God only created two types of people. Male and female. I'll go again. Male and female. If you're any other way, just get born again. You're born that way? Fine, get born again. Get born again. When God begins to look at his house saying this to me, look at verse 3. He shall sit as a refiner and a purger of silver. He shall purge the sons of Levi. Purge them like gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. When God begins to change the ministers, they'll begin to offer the offering like they should. That means they'll do their duty as they should. Hallelujah. How many of us that we need to have the impurities flow out? I'm not a perfect pastor. I'm not. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. But I haven't arrived yet either. But I'm in the process of change. Amen? And don't let anyone point out your sins because theirs is probably greater than yours. I'm serious. You got to squelch that stuff. If you know something about somebody else, let it die with you. Because you've probably done worse. Say amen. How many of sometimes our sin looks worse than somebody else? Oh, thank you, Jesus. When it comes to the sons of Levi, he said, listen to me, I want to purge you. I want to change you. I want to clean you. Judgment begins in the house of God. For the priests and the pastors, those who stand close in their relationship with them, we must have that area. But when pastors and ministers who are unremorseful, unrepentant about their sins and lifestyle, they're not sorry or ashamed, the Lord is not pleased. He is not pleased. A whole nation can be cursed because leadership is not living like they should. He's saying the nation of Israel, listen to me, you need to have purity here. How many knows it was serious business when God called Moses up on the mountain? How many knows when he says, I fear and quake at thou? The mountain shook at his presence. Yet God allowed him to come. God spoke to him face to face. How many think that was an awesome responsibility? Amen? The priest, when they went once a year into the holiest of holies, they tied a rope around him. He had bells so he could be heard by those that are without. That he would offer up for his sins and the sins of the nation. And God accepted that. He pushed the sins back, all waiting one day that Jesus would come. But that rope was on there for a purpose, just in case he fell dead in the presence. How many are thankful that God's merciful? How many think if you were the high priest that day, you would get your life right weeks in advance? Yes or no? Well, the difference is this. We have his righteousness. We live it. We don't have to conjure our own up. But it's amazing to me that our process is so simple, still we don't do it. By your will, you can serve the Lord or not. Come on. You can be obedient or not. How many of your parents are happy when your kids do what you ask them to do? And generally, you're not asking them to do some unbelievable thing. They may think it is, oh my God, I got to take the garbage out. Oh, my life is over. I got to do the dishes. Oh no, you don't understand. But how many of them, when they finally do it, you're happy? And generally, when they can thank you, they've moved out. But what's amazing is when you finally hear them talk like you, and you don't say, I told you so. You finally go, well, they're finally getting it. It's amazing how smart mom and dad are when your children get older. Come on, it's true. But how about your father? When he looks at us as kids, does he want us to be pure? He does. Now picture a church that the pastor isn't born again. What will the congregation become? What will they become if that pastor's not even living for the Lord or even striving for that area? He's saying, listen to me, sons of Levi, you ministers, I've come and I'm coming this way. He is dealing with ministers today. The Lord wants us to repent in order that our hearts can be right so the nation does not suffer. One of our problems in this nation is that there's weak leadership in the pulpits. We've allowed sin to reign and not righteousness. If we can get the pulpits right, the nation will begin to change. I'm telling you the truth. In Revelation 2, verses 18 through 24, to the church of Thyatira, he said this, I come like a flame of fire. My feet are like fine brass. I know your works, your love, your service, your faith, your patience, all that. And all that is good. But I have a few things against you. You've suffered that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit fornication and offer things sacrificed to idol. Verse 21. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, but she would not. How many of us, God gives us a chance to repent? This is written to the churches. That we've allowed from the pulpit people that are not even qualified to preach, to seduce people, to offer witchcraft, to bring everything detestable into his house. And the Lord knows it. And I give you room to repent. Like any father that loves his kids, he gives room. But listen to me, there's a limit. When you start destroying people's lives with your life, woe unto that. And how much more the ministers? He's saying, sons of Levi, you need to get your life right. I know this is a sobering message. I was up most of the night with this. This is something that is so serious today. I said it's so serious today. That today we need to live for him all the more. We need to say, Lord Jesus, change me. Look at verse 4. It says this, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as it was in days of old in the former years. When the priests get it right, the offering becomes right. Notice that the priests are here covering a nation. When the priests get it right, when the ministers get it right, that's both men and women. When they get it right, the nation will be blessed as it was in days before. Oh, I want that to return. I want this nation to return. We got so many gods around, we don't even know what our God's name is. Our God has a name. And it's amazing to me, the name of Jesus is still cursed in every place. And woe unto us if somebody says to you, you can pray in every name of a God, but don't mention Jesus' name. Why are you singling him out? He's the only one with power. Amen? Now, I'm not a real NASCAR fan, personally. I don't mind it. But I've heard some of those guys get down in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch these men. I'm like, cool, dude. I'll zoom in just for that prayer. I agree with you. Not this, oh God up in heaven, you great eye in the sky, whatever your name might be. Help us, Lord, in your name, amen. Oh, like he's going to go, yeah, that sounds awesome. Yeah, I'm going to honor that prayer. Listen to me, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. He's saying, sons of Levi, get it right. I'm giving you opportunity to repent. I'm giving you space to repent. But if not, you're casted out. And that's a true fact. We don't like to see the Lord do that, but notice that he's patient. Now, here's a great thing this morning. All of us in this room are going to be tipped off to what the Lord is going to do and it is doing. We need to take heed to it. It's time to purify our houses. It's time to purify our lives. If there's things in your house you know you need to get rid of, just time to get rid of it. I need to make some sweeping. It's starting today. I'm dealing with pastors. I'm dealing with me. But in the next few weeks, we're all dealing with. How many want to be that area? Now, how many have ever been by a campfire before? How many have ever gotten too close and your tootsies got a little too warm? My wife melted her shoes one time. She said, My feet are getting hot. Tennis shoes were melting. Look, your tennis shoes are melting. Flip them puppies off. Ruin the shoes. But God's fire does this. It changes us. Our flesh becomes uncomfortable, but the character begins to be produced. How many want to be more like Christ? See, the difference is this. All of a sudden, the impurities come out. When the Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were thrown in the fiery furnace, that was a good thing for God. Because he's going to burn off what was holding them. And God thought it was pretty awesome that they heated it 7 times hotter. Good. It's going to smoke off everything you don't need, and then you can be in air condition with me. When we learn to enjoy the being in the fire, it becomes cooler, hallelujah, but it begins to do more work. The only thing that was bound was those that was held in them, that they walked out free. How many of us, God has a refining fire? He comes like a fire. Listen, if he's not coming to church and changing, woe unto a church this morning that had no repentance, that had no opportunity for the people to change. Come on, we have to change. I know what my flesh is like, let alone your flesh. Is that too straight up forward? Lord, change us like a refining fire. Then all of a sudden, the gold becomes a little more pure. The silver becomes a little more pure. That when the metal becomes heated, we become formable, conformed into his image. That's the only image I want to have. It's not the image of Lighthouse or this church or this church. It's the image of Christ. Now, we worship here. I understand that. We have to bear his image. I bore the image of the earthly, my mom and dad. I need to bear the image of the heavenly. This is the process that God will do it. He's not going to stamp cold steel. He's only going to stamp and change that which is warmed. Because otherwise we're just dented people. God doesn't dent any lives. He changes lives. But we have to get in that fire. He comes like that. First of all, he's coming for leadership. He's coming for leadership. If you have any point in leadership, he's coming in that area that we change, that God wants to change us. Now, when we get to heaven, all right, I know Jesus ate after the resurrection. How many saw him eat fish on there? The door was locked and he could come in the room. That's kind of supernatural stuff. I think it's pretty cool. I'd like to have a body like that. Wouldn't it be cool? Door's locked, you could come in and still have texture to you. I think it'd be cool, all right? That's supernatural stuff. Now, I don't know this. If in heaven, I got a pretzel that's really soft, the real good ones, and I put mustard on there, and some breeze comes by and it hits my outfit, if it's just going to go zzz and burn off all the mustard and I clean again. I don't know. But nothing that defiles shall enter in. So notice the cleansing process now is now. It's now. We need it now. We don't know how far we fall until we start to come back. That's why you don't want to stain your outfit by living in sin. I'll get into that more next week. Are you enjoying so far? Look at verse 4. And then the offering. Somebody say the offering. What we bring to the Lord will not only be pleasant in Judah, but also in Jerusalem. It'll be pleasant unto the Lord in the days of old as it was in the former years. When the priest does right, Jerusalem and Judah will be changed. Not only our homes, but abroad will change also. It will also change a nation. When Obed-Edom had the presents brought in his house, because back then, when the ox cart stumbled, He said, where are we going to put it? And they said, well, you know what? Nobody wants it. David was afraid of the God's presence. Obed-Edom said, you can put it in my house. So they brought the ark over to Obed-Edom's house. If you follow Obed-Edom's life, his life changed at that moment. He became a doorkeeper in God's house. Soon he became a minister of the gospel just by having the presence there. Then when David saw that, hey, he didn't drop dead, he welcomed it back into the house. When you get the presence in your home, you'll change. When you don't think like you're even worthy, God will change you. Man, if he can change me, he can change anybody. He works it out, his plan of salvation. But it all requires your Jerusalem will change. Your Judea will change. Hallelujah. That means the both nations that were split, God will bring back together. Hallelujah. What's been severed, God will work. How many of us, we have a broken nation today? I said we have a broken nation today. Our offerings are not acceptable unto God. He's saying repent. Start with you ministers. You sons of Levi, you need to, I'm coming this way. God's coming to his house like fire and soap. Amen? Now, we went camping one time. We took these young people out, and we had like 100 young people for a week. And the only water we had was a pump. And man, if you've ever had well pump water up north, it is cold as, it would get your head, and your head would burn. Ugh. It was so cold. We had one pump for 100 people. It was nuts. But they were young people, so that we could get away with that. But every day we went to the lake. We did. We went to this big old lake and we swam there. It was part of the activity in the evening. Well, to be smart, guess what people started to do? They started bringing their soap with them. They started bringing their shampoo. They started bringing their soap. And I never forget this. There was families lined up on the beach. 4 buses would pull up. 100 youth would run off. They'd all jump in the water. And the first thing, who's got soap? They'd all start lathering up their hair. And the suds would start to come towards the shore. And I'm not saying you should do this. Everyone would be just, oh my God. People would be leaving because of us. Amen? And guess who was out there shampooing too? I was right in the midst. So I'm just as guilty. But it felt good after that. Amen? I mean, it's whatever water you got, you use. Too often, churches have used a lot of dirty water, but that's all they ever had. It's been some water. That's why when I speak at this pulpit, I never take it for granted. I'm going to give you something crystal clear, something clean. Hallelujah. So when the Fuller soap comes in, it's a good lather. That you smell different after you leave. See, most people try to get their life right before they come to church. Listen to me, if you had a rough day on Saturday and you sinned, make sure you're there Sunday morning because you need the cleansing. No, you don't get it all right. You come to God as you are. How many of us, he said, you're red? Come on, make it white. Too often we have something the enemy tries to make in our mindset. Well, you got to get it right before you come. No, you come as you are. Hopefully next week that won't be an issue for you. But I've learned the more you get clean, the more you want to stay clean. That's why if you go back to the world in a backslidden condition, it's just as lost as when you left it. Don't go back to the world. It's just as lost. It's just new ways to invent old sin. Amen? Now, here's a true fact. I did a trip one time, and my wife and I couldn't go on the... I came back, and I didn't get a chance to shower. It was about 3 days. And she came home. She did this, like, good to see you, amen? But she was honest. You kind of stink. Is there anybody in your life that can tell you, you kind of spiritually stink? Oh no, we get so offended on the righteousness of God in Christ. How dare you say that to me? We all need a spiritual bath. And listen, thank God for somebody to be honest with you. The Lord's being honest with the priest. I'm giving you an opportunity to repent. You belong to me. You represent me. Like all of us, God gives us that opportunity to, like he did for the church of Thyatira. But there's judgment that happens after if you don't. An unrepented heart, believe me, our strongest thing is our will. I tell you, sometimes I wish the Lord would just overpower it and blast us, but he doesn't do that. It's whomsoever will. Now the Holy Spirit will work on that area, but if we want to stay the same? How many knows I'm born this way? You're not changing me. How many knows that'll last? That may even take you to hell. Kind of quiet today. The whole nation suffered, but now he wants it to be, hey, remember back when there was days of fruitfulness. I can make it again. Do you believe God can still make this nation great again? I do with all my heart. I don't believe he's done with the planet or this nation. But it takes those areas. It takes, Lord, priests get it right. Men and women of God get it right. If you'll do that, our problems will change because our spiritual climate will change. There's a famine for the word of God. No real righteousness. And ministers who are not born again. That's such a sad fact. You preach the word, but you yourself are not. Even Jesus, when he met Nicodemus, you're a teacher of the law, and you don't even understand this. He said, well, how can I become born? I can't enter my mother's womb again. And he marveled at how carnal he was. No, that which is flesh, but that which is spirit. Don't marvel that I say. Marvel not that I say you must be born again. You must be born by God's Spirit. That means that gives you the potential of being what God wants you to be. That gives you the place to become an heir. Now you're a child of God by being born again. Then he has parental rights in your life. I'll jump ahead for a minute. When it comes to judgment for believers, the Lord brings discipline, like a parental discipline in our lives, so we're not judged with the world. How many of us, that's a good father. I don't want you this way. I want you this way. That's a great dad to teach his kids, this is how you should grow up. Now, like every kid, there's a rebellious streak in all of them, like there was in some of us. How many were a perfect child? I've met a few of them. Besides Val. But Val just sinned, so she's just shot her record there. Amen? How many of us, there's no perfect kids? Even with perfect parents, they make some mistakes. Sometimes you try to limit the bonehead mistakes. But they do make them. But thanks be to God. Hallelujah, they can still change. But how many knows there's still consequences with those decisions? And if you reject him unto death, whoa. Are you enjoying this morning? It's kind of quiet. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 for a minute. Hold your finger there in Malachi. 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to read this to you in verse 17. Tell me when you got it. 1 Peter 4:17. 1 Peter 4:17. It says, for the time. Somebody say the time. What's the next part of that verse? The time is what? The time has come. The time has come. He's given us a warning. Remember, he sent John the Baptist before Jesus. Hey, I'm preparing the way. He's speaking a word now. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall it be to them who obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ? For us, we have a warning from the Father. It must start here now. For the ministers, and I'm dealing with us first. Ministers, it starts with you. It starts with you now. He comes with fire. He comes with soap. It's time to change that the nation can be blessed again. And when the ministers start to change, do you believe God can come down and speak to men and women? I met a pastor one time. He was so honest. It was in a small pastor thing. He said this, ministers, he goes, I have to publicly repent. I was living my life for self and selfish needs, for personal gain. But in the midnight hour, God spoke to me. He rebuked me and he showed me the error of my ways. And I want to be honest and say I got my life right. Can God still do that today? He's given a word through Malachi. Ministers, I need you to change. As your father, as a parental guidance, change. The nation is not blessed because of your offering. It's unacceptable. Hallelujah. Flip back to Malachi 4, verse 5. It says, behold, I will send you Elisha, the prophet, before the coming of that great and dreadful day. Now we know that John the Baptist came in the power of Elisha, it says in Scripture. But notice that he's sending. There's a prophetic word coming. It's not only a prophetic word, it's also a word with power. There's the prophetic word, but there's also the power of Elijah. We need that in the church today. People need convincing proofs that God is real. It needs to be relevant to what God's doing. How many of those we have that? We have a spoken word, and we also have the power of God. We need to exercise them both, you guys. That means if somebody needs prayer, pray for them. On the way out today, there's a brother came up to me. He goes, Pastor, we prayed before he left. He had a friend of his that was deathly dying, like dying. And he said, would you agree with me? I said, well, let's agree together. We prayed. He come up to me and says, you'll never guess what happened. They're releasing him from the hospital. It's a total miracle. This gentleman doesn't even know. He didn't want anybody to visit him. He didn't want family to see him. He didn't want nobody there. But he says, you know what? I'm going to be praying for you. He got bold. He's being released from the hospital. Amen? And I appreciate his forefront. Now, I'm not going to cuss, but he said, this blank works. How many of us, we can be mature enough to handle that? I said, I didn't cuss back, but I said, you're absolutely right. It does work. How many of us, God can bring convincing proofs. Come on, we all been raw before. Yes or no? We all been raw, but God can help us. When the ministers get it right, he'll bring back those areas. But he's going to send the prophet. He's going to send those with power. And they're both going to work together. It's one thing to have the word. It's another thing to have the power. We got to have them both. We got to have both working together. You speak in the arena, but the demonstration is there. He wants to bring it back. Hallelujah. How many of those that can happen in our life groups? Come on. You can pray for people. God can set them free. I appreciate it when Ernie Peggy say, you know what? We've taken the whole list and praying for the church. You know what that does for the pastor? That encourages me. Amen? I just know that's awesome. Stay away from offenses too. Offenses will come, but you don't have to eat that fruit. When you feel an offense coming up or somebody trying to sway you away, come against that. No, praise the Lord. If you don't eat it, you're not offended. I said, if you don't eat it, you're not offended. Amen? Look at verse 5. Behold, I send you. Hallelujah. I send you. I wonder how many times God's spoken a word in a house and nobody wanted to listen. Even Jesus said, I came to my hometown and I only could do a couple miracles because of their unbelief. If Jesus couldn't do it, how much more I'm going to do it? He says, becoming of that great day, more than ever, we need to prepare ourselves for God to return. I said, we need to prepare ourselves. When God begins to come, all those who practice sorcery and witchcraft, he's going to deal with. All those who oppress people, God's going to deal with. All those who turn aside, those that would become born again, he's going to deal with. Can you imagine some child wanting to serve the Lord? The parents say, you're not serving God. God will deal with that. That's serious kingdom business. And what about the ministers who turn people away? The charlatans that just line their own pockets, fleecing the flock. God will deal with that. It's his kingdom. Amen? He doesn't want anyone to perish. But we have a will, and we can choose. In Deuteronomy 27, verse 19, cursed be he that perverts judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows. Exodus 23, verse 9, thou shalt not oppress the stranger, or know this, well, the heart of the stranger, seeing you were one in Egypt. When I look today, more than ever, God wants us to live for him, but also know that he executes judgment on all. This is his planet. When judgment begins in the house of God, listen to me, what will be of the end of the world? Come on, when we start to get it right, how about the world? They have no rescue. But fearful judgment, that's what we can bring, to bring the message, hey, it's time to repent. I know there's a lot of people away from the Lord today. It's not a matter of why they're not here. It's a matter of, come on, you can change. Come on back. Everyone has a reason, an excuse. But no, listen to me, what holds up to the Lord? It's time to serve the Lord again. Your situation may be real, but that should not keep you out of God's house. I've never seen more of a day than today where I've seen people who once served the Lord with passion turn away and not even care. Like, don't even care than right now. The Bible said there'll be a great falling away before that great day. I'm here to tell you, we're living in it now. Yeah. It's time to declare in our house, as for me and my house. Believe me, if you don't make your service to God a priority, something else will fill it. My wife and I on the way in this morning, Sundays used to be a day that used to be kind of like a neutral day. Not anymore. Sundays are like Saturdays. And believe me, even in the sporting world, they found out that people have free time, so what do? Schedule their events on Sunday. Oh Lord, I would have came, but I had this game to do. The game may not be sin, but if it keeps you from the King, it's out of balance. Jesus said, if you love other things more than me, where is that love? Doesn't it say love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, which is your reasonable service? We need to train up another generation that that's what's acceptable to God. Because no excuse is going to work. It's kind of quiet today. Are you enjoying the message? How many are saying, oh Lord, let all the bolts out. Lord, let there be fire. If there's fire in the pulpit, there'll be smoke in the pews. Hallelujah. And when the fire gets hot enough, it'll consume the room. God is good. In Hebrews 12, verse 6 says this, for the Lord loves, he chastens. And he scourges, he disciplines every son whom he receives. I haven't met a perfect kid yet. Now, discipline can range at times. Discipline can be like, hey, don't do this. They jump right to it. I was not that kid. You couldn't spare the rod with me. I got a spanking. Anybody got a spanking? We used to call it a whooping. You're going to get a whooping. Amen? Go out there, tear down the biggest tree and bring it in here so I can beat you with it. All right? I swear my dad taking off the belt was just like when you go to Cedar Point, that coaster that goes up, click, click, click. I was like, click, 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 click. Oh, no. Amen? But I found out ways to beat the belt. If I flinch right before he hits me, it barely hit me. Then I acted like I was really hurt, and I'd go upstairs and laugh. Until one day he came upstairs and heard me laughing. And he says, do you think this is funny? Oh, man. Do you know, when I was in school, the school used to paddle too. Used to get a SWAT. I remember the principal I had like three or four of them, and he named them. And he drilled holes in them too. But I remember one time he was a good guy. And I found out later that he faked 90% of the people out. What he would do is like he'd have three or four students that all deserved discipline, and guess who was down there? But what he would do is, he would say, now, all of you turn around. And he'd deal with the student. And he would lift up his shoe. And he would take the paddle and he'd go, whack! And man, it sounded so bad. And he'd go, shh, go out the door. So all of us that were waiting in line thought we were going to get it. Amen? What we should have got was a SWAT. What he did is he just showed us some mercy. Do you know most of those people never came back down there? How many of those? I was still down there. Lord worked on me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Got to work on anybody. How many of those we didn't get what we deserve? When we should have got it, Jesus took it for us. He paid the price for us. I said he paid the price for us. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. For you as a believer, here's what judgment is like. It's parental chastisement for unrepented sins in order that we will not be condemned with the world. Your sins have been judged in Christ. For you as a believer, you're judged already in Christ. Now it's parental discipline. He's going to chastise you so in order that you not judge with the world. But if you reject that, how many of you have the same judgment? There's no hope of sin if you reject the only Savior. Come on. How many of us, it's simple. If you tell your kids, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, you're going to get hurt, you're going to get hurt, you're going to get hurt. If they still do it, what happens? They get hurt. It's no different today. God says, listen to me, don't do this. He's warning the priest. He warned the church of Thyatira, don't. If you don't repent, this is what's going to happen. Then as your father, he wants us to repent so we're not judged like the world. How many of us, that's a good dad? He's not up there with a lightning bolt just hoping that you'll make a mistake and knock you out. Thank God we didn't get what we deserved. But once we're saved, how many knows that he comes like a refining fire, like a fuller's soap? We have to follow that. Whom he loves, he disciplines. He doesn't discipline kids that are not his, even though that sometimes is nice in the grocery store. I've seen some unruly kids, amen? But they're not mine to discipline. I remember a kid was pulling off the shelf Crisco oil back when they were in the glass jugs and breaking them on the floor. You know what it's like to have Crisco oil in a supermarket and every shopping cart takes that to every aisle? You know how many people are going to fall? And I never forget going, man, kid, I don't know who's your parents, but you're not doing that anymore. And I'm looking, how mom or dad was going to come around the corner. I didn't touch the kid, but how many of that's disaster? Man, it'll take forever to get that oil up, especially that real big jug. And I'm thinking, there's people coming in, look, ma'am, there's oil on the floor. Whose kid is this? How many of it's not my kid, it's not mine to discipline. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. You belong to him. He chastises us in order that we won't be judged with the world. Because if you'll finish the book, the message in Thyatira, it's serious judgment happened to that church. Serious things. It's serious business. God will deal with men and women who don't serve him and are leading others astray. It's serious business. Come on, it's no different in a church. If you say you belong to Jesus, then follow him. I said follow him. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, let a man examine himself. He's talking about, listen to me, even when it comes to communion, examine yourself that you eat worthy. In verse 31 of chapter 11, if you judge yourself, you won't be judged of another. For this world, unbelievers will be judged by the wrath of God. But for you, it leads unto salvation. That's good news. Amen? My sins have been judged in Christ. Now I get the parental discipline. Lord, I want it. Amen? How does he do it? Fire and soap. Bring it on, Lord. It's not comfortable. My flesh may not like it, but Lord, burn off all the dross. You'll come forth more gold. Now, back when I was in school, I shared with the first service that we had these molds. You actually could make metal objects when I was in school. And I don't do that anymore. We had a little mini foundry in our shop class. And we had these things where it was a stencil. You put it in the sand, you pack it down, then you pull out that, and it made the image of the object. We'd heat the furnace up, pour it in there, and it would fill the mold. And if you did it right, if you made a horse, it would come out like a horse once it cooled. But if a little bit of sand blocked one of the passages, your horse didn't have a leg. Something was wrong with it. I mean, it was worthless. The process God wants for us is to make us into his image. I've learned for me, it takes multiple images. I'm still being changed. I haven't arrived yet, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Anybody know what I'm talking about? First one I made, I had a horse with one leg. I pulled it out. I was so proud I got everything done. It had one leg. Teacher came along and says, giddy up. I mean, it was worthless. Here, Mom, I got you a horse with one leg. It's like a horse with no name. Oh, some of you can remember that song. Oh, yeah. The truth is that here it is. You know what? What happens is that you reheat it up and you start over. How many of us, there's some good do-overs in the kingdom? Lord, I want a do-over. When I blew it, Lord, I got a do-over. The parental side of God brings you to repentance. For the world, fearful judgment is coming because they've rejected. But we can still speak a word. Speak a prophetic word today and warn people. Let people know in love, hey, it's time to get your life right. Those that are out there that serve them, it's time to return. Let's bring the power back to the kingdom. When the ministers get it right, our nation's going to change. But an unrepented heart, listen to me, is hard. Bitterness is hard to change, but we can still see it done by the power of the Holy Spirit. All of us in here have got a heads up that God is bringing things together in these last days. Amen? Next week, I'm going to be dealing with how the sifting process works in our life. How many want to be more like Him? Amen? Well, I took my one-legged horse. It was pathetic. I took my one-legged horse, and the next week I threw it, got the fire hot, and I threw it in there. And it was amazing to me that when it got hot enough, it all melted down back to a substance, just liquid. Now I can make it to whatever I need it to do. So I learned from my mistakes. My problem was the sand wasn't wet enough and it wasn't compacted enough. Listen, when you feel like you're being hammered on, you feel like you're being squished, you feel like, man, things are pouring all over you, you're wet and cold, you're probably in the right position to receive what you got coming. Hallelujah. Because now you're formed ready to receive. Listen to me. Every challenge is an opportunity. Every obstacle is an opportunity for miracles. Then don't short the process. Keep through it, and God will help you. Listen to me. The next time, I got it almost perfect. There was one little spot by the tail. But I had a good instructor. He goes, you know what? I can fashion that you won't even see the impurities. You get what God, you can do. God will take the rest and shape you just perfect. Hallelujah. But God's not going to do your part. You got to do yours. And He'll do the rest. You bring the material, I'll bring the flames. Hallelujah. And I'll change your vile character. To even be greater than Adam before he sinned. Because I got Christ in me, the hope of glory. I got the finished word of God. How many knows I got everything? I'm without excuse. Say amen. How many knows the second Adam was greater than the former Adam? Jesus. You got Jesus. Glory to God. Enjoy this morning. How many of y'all pray for leadership? And it's not to point a finger saying, oh, the pastors are all the problems. Because we're next. Say amen. Because once He deals with leadership, He's going to deal with the people. Then what will happen? The third step is the world. Can you imagine when the church finally rises up and be what it's supposed to be? What kind of light that's going to be to the community? What kind of power and change that's going to bring? Any nation whose God is blessed. We need it again. When the nation of Israel always repented, there was always a jubilee celebration. And God brought years of prosperity. Hallelujah. How many want your family touched? I do too. Take those cards, and I know you're serious about it, fill them out. If you're not able to be here that day, put all your family members, aunts, uncles, cousins, people, enemies, doesn't matter. Put them on that. We're going to speak over them in prayer. They're going to be on the altar. One person will grab it, probably pray for that, probably get prayed over 10 different times on one card alone. Good. There's 10 time multiplications. I'm believing from that area that God's going to begin to touch family members at home, at work, at school. Witness is going to be there like never before. Because we have a prophetic voice now, and we have the power of God to walk it through. Hallelujah. Enjoy this morning. All right, lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, come in our life. Lord, like You did for the sons of Levi, with fire, like a refining fire. And Lord, like soap to cleanse us. That, Lord God, we can be more pure than ever. Lord, that's our heart. Father, in Your parental discipline, change us so we're not judged with the world. And Lord, help us to say yes, Lord, that when we're heated, we become more pliable. Where, Lord, we're not so stiff or stiff-necked. And Lord God, the stains, Lord God, that we all have in our lives, at times, Lord, that we fail. Lord, that fuller soap, that soap to cleanse us. Because, Lord, You said the righteousness is like clean linen. We want to be that. Lord, every trespass forgive us, Lord. And Father, we speak over the ministers today. Lord, especially those who are not born again or unrepented, that, Lord, You'll work in their hearts. Lord, You've given all of us space to repent. God, we pray You'll change. that leadership, Lord, across this nation, across this world, will begin to serve you again, that their houses, Lord God, their offerings can be acceptable. Lord, bring it to pass. And Lord, we'll be quick to love and not judge. Lord, we'll be slow to speak and slow to anger. Teach us. Now bless your people with strength and power. Go with them, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.